May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1038. Sinners, in their deep affliction, sigh and groan beneath their load, long to read their own election, and with pleasure say, My God. Trembling, fearing, hoping still in Jesus' blood. Hymn 1038.
May the Lord help us to read his word, part of the 40th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, and then that I mentioned this morning, the first chapter in the epistle to the Philippians. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, Cry, And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, shall carry them in his bosom, and shall carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Thus far we will read there, friends. Let us also read in Paul's epistle to the Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds in Christ that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretence or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which she saw in me, and now here to be in me. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we seek to approach thee. We come, Lord, pleading the precious name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus is the way to God. And in his own words, O God, our Father, we plead, Lord, as he stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We beg, Lord, we may know and find access to thee now. There would hear us, Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place. And as we plead, Lord, we come, Lord, with our confessions. Lord, we are sinners still, and feel the burden of sin and guilt. Even in this day, Lord, thy day, in holy things we are troubled with sin. Sin is mixed with all we do. And Lord, we would solemnly confess it. For Lord, we come again pleading that word that thou hast given through John, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we come to thee now, Lord, pleading personally and for our friends, that thou wouldst so come tonight and favour us to know the holy, wondrous sweets of pardon sin, and know that wonderful peace that flows in with forgiveness and pardon. Lord, oh, how we each need it. And Lord, like us, we know in the Acts of the Apostles it's stated in the context regarding Cornelius, and Lord, we know it is stated, preach in peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And Lord, oh, we hope we come tonight with a message for the dear friends here. Lord, those things we very feebly considered and rambled about this morning. But Lord, oh, we pray we may be more enabled to closely consider and acknowledge and praise thee, our God, and that thou mayest have all the glory. We think of the church triumphant home in heaven. And oh, we know at that time of thy birth, when angels came with the wonderful tidings, oh, how even the great vault of heaven was ringing with praise to thee, a triune God. Oh, that wonderful way of salvation, redemption, the wonderful way for sinners to be saved was manifest, God manifest in the flesh. Seen of angels, oh Lord, how it was, and acknowledged by the angels, acknowledged in heaven. Oh, how those great bolts of heaven rang with the praise of God. And Lord, the glory of the wonderful fact, Lord, so felt in heaven and acknowledged in heaven, and angels came to tell thy people on earth. And Lord, we bless thee for the record of all those wonders of that wondrous birth of Christ, the wondrous way of it. Oh, the overshadowing of the Virgin Mary. Oh, that our Lord and Saviour is born separate from sinners, and yet a human man, a real man. And Lord, we believe in thee, Lord, now a real man who in heaven now reigns. And Lord, as we come in prayer, we know we depend upon thy intercession. We depend upon thy advocacy. We depend upon thee, our great high priest above. Oh, mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Lord, oh, how we depend upon thee. And so, Lord, we come pleading now. Do come tonight, Lord, and do thy people good here. Oh, may a poor instrument be used of thee. Do cause that the golden oil may flow through the poor pipe, that it may be channeled to these dear people in this way, Lord, thy way, Lord, thy means. Oh, we feel so insufficient. But, Lord, may it be that thou makest us sufficient by thy grace, Lord. Our sufficiency is of thee, and Lord, that we may have real worship here tonight of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that souls may be blessed, may be confirmed, may be assured of their part in the Redeemer's blood, that precious souls may be so established by thy wondrous goodness to them in dealing with them and teaching them, Lord, and bringing a special time of blessing, could it please thee, Lord, to precious souls here tonight. Do come, Lord, in this way, and according to thy purpose, Lord, to so bless souls, to do them good, Lord. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. We humbly trust we are a small part of thy Zion, Lord, gathered here tonight. Oh, and thy family, Lord, thy children, children of God and joint heirs with Christ, oh, confirm it, Lord, that we are such by sovereign grace. So, Lord, do come and suit thy blessing to each one gathered here, each of the friends. If there are any in unconcern, Lord, do come tonight to deal with them. Lord, thou knoweth how, as we were, Lord, in our own state of unregeneracy, unconcerned, and had no real concern about our never-dying soul. Are there any here tonight who are in the darkness of nature still? Oh, Lord, we think of the young people and those at home, Lord. And not that it is that only it can be the young people, Lord. We know that solemnly, sadly, a person can attend the means of grace all their days and not know and know the favours of thy salvation. Lord, to be in a form of religion, to be only as outward form is practiced, Lord, and to be like unto thy people, Lord, in an outward way, but not knowing thy saving grace. Oh, do in mercy appear, Lord, if there are any going on like that in their life, going on in a way of formality and in a natural confidence, thinking they are all right, thinking they are God's people, when they do not know or taste thy grace. Lord, oh, is there any? If it is, may the alarm be sounded. Lord, thou knowest thou givest one to sound the alarm in thy holy mountain. There are others of thy servants, specially thou hast given it to them, to sound an alarm, to blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Lord, oh, and for us all, as we need to hear that alarm, prepare to meet thy God. Oh, Lord, oh, we can't prepare ourselves, but if the Spirit stirs us up in exercise, we will prepare. We will be in prayer, we'll be in confession, and with repentance, and with pleading, Lord, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And oh, how thou dost prepare them by blessing them, by showing mercy, and thy favour, making known thy loving kindness to thy people. Oh, bringing them to the cross of Calvary by faith, to behold thee there, to behold the Lamb of God as John so came as a forerunner, and Lord, to follow thee, to see thee, Lord, in our wretched place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might revere his name. You come then, Lord, and work here tonight. Oh, do good in thy good pleasure. Bless souls. Feed them, favour them, Lord, as they need it. Those that have brought by the teaching of the Spirit and the things of experience, how they are brought to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Show us, Lord, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Thou hast shown some of us it. Oh, show all thy people it. And Lord, oh, give that change of raiment. In thy time there wilt we believe. And Lord, that they might so be clothed upon. Oh, not unclothed, but clothed upon. And Lord, and oh, this wonderful favour, that imputation of the holy righteousness of Christ may be witnessed and testified in the church of God, and souls be able to say, I'm clean, just God, I'm clean. My rags are gone and I am dressed in garments white as snow. Oh, do come for this, Lord, we beg. Lord, thou knowest all what we pleaded this morning and what we pleaded in our private hours, Lord, in parts of the day today and in the early hours of this morning and here at the service here this morning. So hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, dear Lord. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 529. Sweet Jesus, how great is thy love, Thy mercy and truth know no end, and all that are born from above shall find thee a permanent friend. Dear Saviour, enlighten my eyes, that I may the wonders behold contained in the law of the wise, too grand and too great to be told. Hymn 529.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would again direct you to those words we were trying to consider this morning. I know and feel I come very short in what we brought before you, but the Lord knows his purpose. The words in Luke chapter 2, the 14th verse, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." As God may help me, I want to just bring a few things of my own ponderings since I was with you this morning upon this statement, how the heavens rung with it, how this wonderful affirmation, glory to God, this wonderful way of expression of it by the angels, glory to God in the highest. I pondered it, friends, like this. You see, at this wonderful time, all what was decreed in covenant as regarding the birth of Christ was now fulfilled. And think of all those that died in faith, not having received the promise. And I believe this is how, as it were, the very vault of heaven was ringing with praise, because what was given them to have and believe and to know by faith was now brought to pass, so that there was such wonderful joy in heaven and acknowledgement of God's wonderful way of bringing to pass what he decreed and what had been appointed to so be witnessed on earth, the coming of Christ, that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, should come down to this earth and be found in fashion as a man. And think of it, how it's so important to all those that died in faith, not that there was any doubt about their being in heaven with all the whole family of God, but you see, they died in faith, not having received the promise. But oh, in heaven there was this wonderful glory of the acknowledgement of this. Even for those already home in heaven, it was such a wonderful glorifying of God Jehovah, as there was such joy in heaven. And we know also there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And how are you? And how am I? Have we been brought to be repenting sinners? Have we been convinced of our sin? The real mark of being a child of God is being one made to be by grace, alive by the Spirit, convinced of sin, and needing salvation. And then in needing salvation, as it was with, I think, and I thought of Simeon, got home this morning and I asked my wife, what the Lord's servant was preaching this morning. It was Simeon. I'd had ponderings on Simeon in the night, friends, and yesterday, and how he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Oh, what joy filled his heart when he saw the Lord, and when he held him in his arms, and he said, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen my salvation." Friends, have your eyes and have my eyes seen our salvation, my salvation? Have I had revelation of Christ? Have we been brought by the teaching of the Spirit to need Jesus Christ? Are we among those like they were in Israel, those that look for redemption in Israel? And here the Lord has come. He is born in this way and come, and the tidings given to the shepherds. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto is born in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And those shepherds went very quickly to see the Lord and to worship him. And then there were those wise men that came from the east, and they came and they fell down and worshipped him, and they brought their treasures and gifts. And oh, what is in our exercise what we should be and desire to give in return for God's love to us? Oh, is it praise? Glory to God. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the family of God, among the children of God. Glory to God in the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God in the highest. And in the highest of our exercise, of our purpose, of our living might be given us, and how will it be? By grace, friends. I always felt it was a lovely theme from when the Lord began with me. In the words of the hymn writer, grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ears. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. This is what it was. Heaven was resounding with the echo of the tidings that the angels brought. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And friends, as that, those wonderful tidings come to you, and is it within you? Does it, as it were, so sound in thy heart, in praise and honour and glory to God? Oh, that you want to glorify God for what he has revealed to you, for what he has done for you. Well, friends, tonight, I do want the Lord to, I hope and beg the Lord will lead me, especially into and on earth peace. And on earth peace. I just turned it up just before we come in. The words as in the context relating to Cornelius. And we read it there in Acts chapter 10. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Now that's the preaching of goodwill. Goodwill toward men. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. There's no peace without Christ, friends. There's no joy. There's no hope of salvation. It's Jesus Christ. Oh, he's the sum and substance of all things for God's people. Or what he is, or what he's done, or what he's doing now, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and how he came and walked this earth and lived that perfect life he lived, went about doing good. Oh, but his greatest good, his most vital good, his sacrifice, his death, his glorious resurrection, all what he has accomplished through suffering, bleeding, dying, in his people's room, place and stead. Think of it there. It is acknowledged in Isaiah 53, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is what he came for. And those wise men knew. He had come and believed he had come for them. And they knew, especially because they brought those presents, those gifts, and to so denote what he is as King, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, babe in Bethlehem's manger, but King of kings and Lord of lords. And also, especially the myrrh for the anointing for his burial. They knew what to bring. They knew these gifts were so sacredly applicable for him, for Christ, that they must come and anoint him. That those gifts for his anointing, God's anointed, hail to hail and acknowledge him, God's anointed Son, come to this earth, co-equal, co-eternal Son, to be named and acknowledged Son of God, Son of Man, oh, the Son of God here on earth. Oh, friends, peace. Oh, on earth, peace. You see, God's people will be brought to know solemnly that they have no peace in themselves or from any natural way. One of the realities of vital experience that God so brings his people to know is he brings them to know there's within them an aching void the world can never fill. You young people, is God bringing this to be so in you? Has he caused you to have an aching void the world can never fill? I can understand how you perhaps play games and do exercise in these ways and all that which is wholesome and decent. None of us would make any wrong comment or say you're wrong in doing it. It won't. It won't be as blessing for your soul. There's nothing that can fill up this aching void but Jesus Christ. And I believe that God, in working in his people in the early days, according to his will, he brings each one to know their sinnership, to know and feel their guilt, and to feel their need of salvation. And it brings each one to know what is stated in the word, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Like the Lord spoke in that way to Martha regarding Mary, one thing is needful. And what is that one thing? Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Is the Lord showing you that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one thing needful that you need? You young ones, older ones, all of us. Is this what we acknowledge? Oh, do we know the ring of this acknowledgement? As the hymn writer put it, Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. And you know this wonderful way, God's perfect way, of so blessing his people and preparing his people for heaven. He brings them to know that one thing is needful, and he brings them to know that they have nothing without Christ. They are empty and barren and cold and far off if they do not know the favour of possessing Christ. We read it this morning together. The pearl of great price that so naturally is wanted. Well, that is nothing really to Christ, but he is sometimes named as the pearl of great price. He is that priceless treasure. Oh, and our treasure that is in heaven now. Oh, our Lord. Oh, he is the chiefest good. For he is the saviour of sinners, the saviour of the lost. And this wonderful tidings, these tidings, is come. Jesus Christ is born. You know, in one of the hymns sung at this time, Jesus Christ is born. Oh, he's here. Jesus Christ is here. Oh, yeah, that was so, as it were, put like that by one and another's various poets have written the theme of this, the favour of this, of Christ, the Son of God, being here on earth, coming, and as he stooped down from heaven to this lower world, the guilty worms might rise. And now, as is stated in the word, though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, as a poor instrument preacher says these things, brings these things as God pours them in, do they find a place in your heart, an echo in your heart? The wonders of God's grace, the gift of God, his dear beloved Son, to the world, to the church, the world of his people. Oh, hell. Oh, he came. Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so tonight, friends, do you feel you've joined with the angels? Glory to God in the highest. In the highest, because it's my most important consideration, my most important need is salvation, is the Saviour. Oh, in the highest affection of your heart and soul. Glory to God in the highest, like it was as relating to heaven and the wonderful tidings with the brought by the angel, and how, as I believe, the whole of heaven was ringing with praise, acknowledging the birth of Christ. How is it in you? Is there some measure, blessed measure, of thankfulness and praise? Glory to God in the highest, even from you and from me, because we are blessed by the work and teaching, the operation of the Spirit in us, making us know our need of salvation, our need to plead with God for mercy, to plead for forgiveness, to plead to know and taste the holy, redeeming love of God, and now salvation sealed to us by the blood of Christ, sealed to us, for he come to shed his blood. Peace, and the way of peace is by price paid. Oh, by the peace that he has brought in. Oh, and by and from his cross, peace. And on earth, peace. Goodwill toward man. Goodwill toward man. God's will. God's purpose. God's saving purpose. God's saving grace. God's wonderful way of salvation. Oh, God manifest in the flesh. Oh, the wonderful time of it at Christ's birth. And how it's recorded, friends. And how every year we come round to this time. But friends, how do you feel? We should be in exercise to be praising God, acknowledging Christ, his holy birth, and all what he is, all what he has accomplished when he was here on earth, all what he acknowledged in his high priestly prayer to his Father. I finished the work thou gavest me to do. He has finished it, friends. He's completed it. Redemption's work is done. And so in all this, he has accomplished. Truly it is. And on earth peace, goodwill toward man, even to vile sinners, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, friends, how are you? How are you? What is your state and condition? Oh, what is your great need? If God has brought you to become under his teaching, a convicted and convinced sinner, then you greatly need the Saviour. You greatly need that which he has accomplished, or what he came to do and has accomplished. You need it. You need to know your interest in the Saviour's blood, your pardon signed, and peace with God. You know, there is so much conflict and turmoil that a child of God has to know, solemnly know a lot of. Oh, and there was so much on earth, of course, in those days of the prophets, all the many wars and fightings and many things in this sin-cursed world. And in this sin-cursed world today, there is so much turmoil and trouble and affliction and sorrow and many wars and conflicts, and then you come close to your own exercise, your own experience, and the mighty conflict. Oh, mighty enemies without, more mighty within, world and flesh and devil. These are the troubles a child of God has much to know. But oh, there's peace. Peace by his cross. Oh, by being brought by the Spirit to be living upon the Saviour, trusting in him, oh, believing in him, oh, the favour that God has to bring for each of his people to know, to experience, to come into the favour of believing in Jesus Christ, living on the merits of the Saviour. This is God's way of peace. Oh, his way of peace for his people. You know if Satan is hard and fierce against you. And you know how there is so much confused noise, and as the word states, garments rolled in blood, for there is so much is suffered under Satan. But friends, oh, the Lord has come to bring peace. On earth, peace. Oh, in the way of the Holy Spirit giving it, to be known and proved, and God's people to know and enjoy peace. Peace and pardon, oh, love and blood, to be food for dying souls. This is God's way. This is what God does. This is what God brings in and for and to his people, that they are blessed. And I think of the way a dear servant of God we used to know, who preached in this pulpit, used to conclude his prayer, "May thy living family enjoy salvation full and free. This is what we look for, we desire, we need, and God has purpose to grant it. Oh, that his living family shall enjoy salvation full and free. Jesus is our great salvation, worthy of our best esteem. He has saved his favourite nation. Join aloud to sing of him. He has saved us. Christ alone could us redeem. And he has, friends. And this is what the tidings were. Oh, glory to God in the highest and on earth. God's purpose, God's will, God's performing. Oh, he's bringing it in. Oh, on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Toward man. Oh, man, the word man, when God uses, as he does a number of times in the word, especially the apostles do in the epistles, man, and the Lord himself, man, and those that were acknowledged when the Lord fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, men besides women and children. That was not in Christ's holy purpose to diminish any notice of the women and children, but the men were acknowledged. And particularly there are places in the word where men, it is a statement God uses of his people, those that are important to God, men. Oh, God's people, male of course and female, and some dear children are brought into the favour, knowledge of salvation, experience of salvation when they're very young. You, any of you here, you dear young ones, if God has begun to work in you, I can tell you what you will be brought to feel. Jesus will become exceedingly precious as God goes on to teach you. That will be the mark of what proves that you are one that God has set his love upon. He'll make Jesus Christ so very precious. He will do it, friends. And young people, he will do it in you. And I know this, as I've told you before, I sometimes look at my folder with letters in that were written nearly 30 years ago from the Sunday school here. And it is very humbling to me that some of those dear souls have now testified of Christ and are members of the church here. You know, oh, this is what God has wrought, what God has done, the wonders God alone could do. You young ones here now, oh, if God has a purpose of love and mercy to you, he will teach you much. He will show you yourself, what you are as sinners, and he'll show you himself. He is a holy, holy, holy God, and he cannot in any way clear guilty sinners out of Christ, but he's provided the remedy. Oh, God the Father has given his own dear Son, and even, how holy and sacred it is, God the Father has punished his own dear Son for the sins of his people. You think of him. And that's what every one of us will be brought to be totally, absolutely dependent upon the sacrifice of Christ, and to stand saved by grace in the merits of Christ. Oh, clothed in his righteousness, washed in his blood. Oh, made fit for heaven by God's wonderful saving grace. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. We were trying to touch upon the reality of what is much felt by God's people, the conflict, the tribulation that is all appointed for them in God's wise purpose. Oh, they must and shall through much tribulation enter the kingdom. God has not promised a heaven here on earth. God's people to so know that and to be given then to be in heaven at last. This world is the veil of tears. It's the time state. It's a wilderness journey. And we must acknowledge this and very carefully in love for the dear younger friends, young in the way. You may be much perplexed about this, it's stated in the Word and testified by God's people that we shall, the Lord says, ye shall through much tribulation enter the kingdom. But you think of it rightly, as God teaches you, you will. You see, what you have to have is hard things here. God, in his perfect way and purpose of love and mercy, he will sanctify it to you so that it will become a blessing. Afflictions become a blessing when God sanctifies them to his people. Whatever hard thing they have to suffer becomes, in God's wonderful way of his purpose and his working in his people, like we read in Philippians, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And his working in his people will be to sanctify them and bless them. And though they have to know, and in God's deep, profound will it is, they have to know much trouble, sorrow and tribulation. Some more than others. Some have a deeper path than others. But the Lord has purposed to sanctify them in that path and bless them. And oh, when you taste the Saviour's love, when you know that holy joy and peace in believing, you say, like the apostle, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. What is are the things which are not seen? The glories of heaven, those pleasures evermore in heaven. We have a glimpse of them, a glimpse within the veil. And so everything of tribulation here is very light and small, especially as we consider it as compared to Christ. Oh, his path was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? And oh, peace. Oh, and on earth peace. And the wonderful peace that comes when God comes to still the tempest, to quieten the storm, to stop the raging billows, as he can in a moment. When he comes to cause the tempter to cease his accusations, oh, he can resist him, he can stop him. He allows him as far as his perfect permissive will is to do much. But there he is a chain pole, and he comes to attend to his people's cases. By the Spirit, oh, wonderfully coming and testifying of Christ and taking of the things of Jesus, the child of God finds and proves the storm is quietened and the wind ceases and the peace, the wonderful peace which comes in and by Jesus' sacrifice flows into the soul. Peace flowing into your very heart and soul like a river. Oh, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Oh, and that river flows to us and into us. And we feel the wonderful love of Christ, the holy peace of God, which passeth all understanding, comes and fills us with holy joy. Peace on earth, peace. God's people in the pilgrimage, in the Vale of Tears, going along through much tribulation, Satan often roaring, and they're feeling so much of this conflict. But then the Lord has this purpose, these special times, to favour his people, peace, on earth peace. Oh, in the church, in the souls of God's people, in the hills of Zion like you are here, this garden of God's grace, peace, peace, goodwill toward men, toward those characters loved with an everlasting love, those characters he's sovereignly chosen ere time began, and in time they are made manifest by them being called by grace divine, the divine call. You may get tossed, and the Lord may have appointed it to so that you shall get to us. There were those two chapters in Matthew, I think it's 20 and 22. And we have words there, many are called, but few are chosen. But what God will prove to his people, they're chosen of him. They're not chosen just in a natural way to be as professors of religion. They're chosen, chosen of him. Ere time began, I choose him in return. They're called, and they're called by grace. Give sure witness of his choice. They are chosen, and they are to be blessed, and they are to be favoured and blessed, and in God's time brought into the liberty of the gospel, and to believe to the saving of their souls. Oh, God's way of bringing goodwill toward man. Oh, toward everyone he's chosen. Everyone that are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the way of God proving names are written in heaven is indeed known by that call, that divine call. There were all those that went in and laboured in the vineyard. But there was such a clear acknowledgement they didn't care for the vineyard. Didn't care for the Lord in the vineyard because they were murmuring and complaining at what he paid them. They all received the same wages, the natural figure of it. But think of the spiritual reality. These that are divinely called, oh, they have most vital, important interests in God's garden of his grace, in the kingdom of his grace. They're blessed to be favoured, to have a place in it, a name given as children of God, joint heirs with Christ. They are to enjoy salvation full and free, like we quoted that, their late dear friend's words. And you know, oh, they really have interest in God's vineyard, God's church. Do you really feel that you've got gracious interest in the church of God? Do you feel those of you have had blessings and are not members in the church yet? Oh, does God put within you a desire to be within the church? If you feel led to read, like a dear friend, God's servant, Mr. J.S. Green, when he preached at Stockport, it was 1971. The sermon he preached there before he baptised this poor one. He speaks of it in his sermon. How he was brought to have a real desire to be at the Lord's Supper. But he said, I knew I was the wrong side of the water. But the time, of course, came with him, when he was constrained by the Lord's love and followed the Lord. And then, of course, much more. You know, I think of one and another here. I think of those I have in my heart to carry and watch for. You know, there was a time when you were the other side of the water. You was not baptized yet. But, oh, think of J.S. Green, what was in his path. And what he felt and what he speaks of in that sermon. How he was the wrong side of the water. But how the Lord blessed him. And so brought him into the church on earth, the church militant. And then further worked in him, exercising him for the ministry and made him a true sent servant of God and used him so much. At the time when his pastorate, Gower Street, those years we used to go up there, my dear one and I. You know how I think of him. Not that I want to glorify man, but oh, friends, oh, this goodwill toward men. In God's sovereign purpose, what he's doing, goodwill toward men, to so equip and qualify those he's appointed for the ministry and to send them forth. Oh, ye servants of the Most High God, go forth, come forth. Oh, and some, as I know, it has been, I think of the late Mr. Sperling Tyler. He was raised up among the people, friends. He was raised up among the people at Dicker Chapel. The prophet raised up among them. The Lord knows. The Lord knows his purpose. And he will perform it in his time. He will bring it to pass according to his will. As we lovingly pray for you, I trust the Lord gives me it. Not just when I'm here with you, but we watch and wait for you to have a dear pastor. The Lord will bring it in his time, we believe. Oh, but the Lord knows who it shall be in his holy will, his holy purpose. Oh, his way, his will. Oh, goodwill. Goodwill in the highest sense toward men is for their salvation. Oh, for their being prepared for glory, for their being sought by the Spirit. And God has his means, and his means to perform his purpose through the work of the ministry, anointing those that feel to be poor and insufficient and feel so much unable feel so much the strength and old natural will they've each got and the resisting of God's will. But oh, the stoutest rabble must resign at God's commanding word. And here we prove that in many ways. And here we are brought to have to fall before God in that way, according to what his will and purpose is for us. He will bring to pass his will, that concerneth us, what he has purposed for us. So, friends, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward you, dear people here. God's goodwill, God's purpose. God's wonderful purpose to appear and work, to do more than he's done already among you here, and individual souls to feel the favour of God's blessing, having the love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts. Oh, goodwill toward men. These were the tidings then. These tidings continue in the Church of God. These wonderful things that were brought, the tidings the shepherds brought, that were brought to the shepherds, the angels brought to the shepherds. These tidings continue, friends, in the Church of God. God is working out his sovereign purpose, building his church. Though it is very troublous times as we are in now, God is building his church. And he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We know it is stated, and some have thought it means Peter himself. Of course, Peter is not the rock. Christ is the rock. But Peter, in God's hand, is an apostle of the Lamb. And though he had solemn experience, yet he was wonderfully converted and loved his master well, much more than he ever did when he was converted and brought to so be made that great apostle he was, and to preach as he did, preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. How he writes in his epistle, "The trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold which perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Friends, are you in a trial of faith? Well, if you are, God must love you. He must love you. Trying your faith. Trying it for you to prove and know it better known and better experienced, and prove it even more wonderful, your faith. Faith. Faith in God. Faith in the bleeding Lamb. Oh, he's trying it. He's trying it to prove it to you. It's vital living faith. Oh, it's the faith of God's elect. That enables you to believe in Christ, to believe and seek more and more to know and taste his love. Oh, believe it. We rejoice to see the curse removed. Oh, we see it by faith. The curse is removed by Christ. He's bore the curse. Oh, his dear heart was broken, as we acknowledge it broken too, when he bore the curse for you. You think of it, what is conveyed by God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit to you. It's relating to Christ's sacrifice, how he loved his people and gave himself for it. For he loved the church. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so this goodwill of God's way, God's salvation, God's redemption, everything that's needed according to God's purpose, God's performing, God's bringing it in, God's receiving what Christ has wrought, and his people received by God and accepted in the Beloved. Oh, goodwill toward man, God's goodwill. And oh, we hope, we know there's that controversial part that we read in Philippians. I hope God's given us, and those of us, those he has appointed for the ministry yet to be made manifest and sent forth, that will be your exercise. Goodwill toward man. It will give you love for souls. It will give you to so love souls and give you the anointing to preach the truth to precious souls. Oh, goodwill toward man. God's salvation, God's redemption, God's doing everything that's needed, and blessing souls to receive. You know what Paul says in writing to the Romans? He says, he makes the most wonderful statement. He says, we have now received the atonement. Receive the atonement. This is what is God's purpose for his people, to receive the atonement. This is the goodwill toward man, to receive everything that they need from God, God doing it all, God saving his people by his grace. The sacrifice of Christ, acceptable in the room, place, instead of his people. God the Father accepts his people in his beloved Son, because they are redeemed by blood, redeemed, the blood of God, divine blood shed, the Son of God's holy blood shed for the redemption of the church. And here these, every one that are favoured to receive the atonement by faith, they're redeemed. Oh, redeemed by Jesus' blood, redeemed. His beauty is called to trace, no angel can be more esteemed than sinners saved by grace. Are you one of these? And oh, are you so melted in gratitude? Oh, it will be so if you are one, if God brings you to be feelingly favoured and know you're one. You're one that the Lord has come for and suffered for. You see him by faith in your place. See him on the cross. Hear the blessed Spirit say, all this was done for you, and so you are among the redeemed. Oh, God makes application to his people's hearts and consciences of the precious blood of Christ. And when that holy blood is applied, it truly, fully, really does us good. It does the good that's needed, so that the soul is clean, oh, redeemed. Their guilt is put away. Oh, their sins are blotted out. They're removed forever from them. Oh, the favour known as God may seal particularly a special word to you. I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. Oh, I have redeemed thee. Oh, and the favour to be able to say, as written, as recorded in John's Gospel, ye are clean through the word. The Lord, by the Spirit speaking, sealing it to you, ye are clean. Where you've had so much solemn feeling of condemnation and leprosy of sin, and you feel the filth and guilt of sin. But then the Lord comes and he seals it to you. Ye are clean through the word. The word, of course, is Jesus Christ. It's the word of God's perfect way of salvation. Oh, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word, oh, made flesh for you, made flesh for me. We humbly hope it is so. Oh, there are those who are brought to know it, have it sealed. And I pray it may be so with you, dear friends here, that you may be in earnest seeking for it, to know the application by faith of the precious blood of Christ to your hearts and consciences, and then in God's wonderful way to feel and experience the cleansing, and to be able to say, I'm clean, just God, I'm clean. My rags are gone and I'm dressed in garments white as snow. Do I have that to testify? Oh, it may be, especially it is given to God's servants to preach it, to testify it. Oh, redemption by price paid. Oh, forgiveness, pardon through the sacrifice of Christ and the atonement received. Oh, friends, these wonderful favours. High favours of God's love, but granted to poor sinners, that they are blessed to know and taste redeeming love. Oh, goodwill. The most wonderful, highest goodwill is the goodwill of the wonderful tidings and knowledge of salvation through Jesus the Lamb, goodwill toward men. And, oh, here it came to pass, it further says, shepherds, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. See, I believe God will give his people a continuing exercise of faith, and you will want to go to Bethlehem. We can't go literally. We couldn't, under the present regulations, we couldn't. We can and are wonderfully favoured if we go by faith to see in the manger the Ancient of Days, the Son of God. And like it said of Mary, oh, how she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And how she in due time witnessed oh, these wonders of God's way and purpose, goodwill toward men. She began to see Jesus speaking, reading among the doctors in the temple when he was 12 years old. And here then he went on. And that first marriage in Cana of Galilee, she said to him, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, friends, tonight, I must leave you with this. Whatsoever he saith unto you, unto thee, do it. Do it. Oh, obedience is a blessing. Let all obedient souls their grateful tribute bring. Submit to Jesus' righteous rules and bow before the King. Soldiers, he makes his people to be soldiers. Is your captain, oh, domestic, serve the Lord, sinners. The Saviour's love make known, saints, him the incarnate word. Oh, that's what we want to go on doing as God enable us. Him the incarnate word, sing to his praise, though we can't sing in the assembly of God's people, but we can in our heart, a melody to the Lord. Thankfulness and praise to God for what is the way he's favoured us, how he's blessed us, what he's revealed to us, especially as he's revealed his dear son, and he's made his dear son altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000, and you, something you must testify, this is my beloved, this is my friend. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach at the usual times through the chapel website. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be deferred until a later date. And next Lord's Day, there will be an early prayer meeting, God willing, at 9 o'clock at the chapel. Our friends at Oakington hope to hold their New Year prayer meeting at 10:30 on Friday, which can be heard on the internet and by phone. And a few seats are available in the chapel. Please contact Mr. Warboys if you wish to go. Our closing hymn is number 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. Hymn 514.
Lord, do forgive anything they were seen amiss in our services, especially, Lord, in that which one has brought. Lord, thou knowest we, you trust we have felt the Spirit. And Lord, if anything is amiss, Lord, do blot it out. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.